we're beginning to deal with the topic of communication. And, of course, communication is essential in all of life, and sin has marred it greatly. And so difficult communication is common in this world and in relationships, and it's caused untold heartache. And it's caused untold heartache in many marriages. And so I think a very important issue. So we're going to begin today, and let me just kind of give you a direction so that you can set your minds. I'm going to just talk about some basic elements of communication today, all right? But as we progress, I'm going to transition, and I'm going to talk about our communication with God, all right? And I'll try to help you understand why that's so important, because just like in normal communication, sometimes we can think we're doing well. In the same way, we can think that we're doing okay in our communication with God when, in fact, we might not be communicating at all. And so I want to spend some time focusing on that, because as in all of our classes, I've emphasized, if that relationship is not right with God, i.e. communication with God, I mean, honestly, there's no way it's going to be right as God intends in your marriage. And so that's why I'm going to go part way, just talking about communication generally, then we're going to talk about communication with God. Next week, we'll begin to talk about the very practical elements of communication, both those that are positive and those that are negative, so we kind of get a sense of warning signs as well as helpful reminders. And then in the following week, we're going to talk about conflict resolutions. Anybody here that's never had conflict in a relationship? If you raise your hand, it's like, wow, come up here, I'm sitting down. Because conflict is common. I mean, when sin entered the world, folks, I mean, that's just the reality of life. And so God has given us the resources to work through that in a way that honors Him. And it can be done in a God-honoring way, God-glorifying way. I was given a cartoon this morning that is classic. It says, "Our communication has improved since I began to understand grunting." Some of you have to think about that. Some of you, when you get married, you're going to realize what that means, you know? Huh? You okay? Huh? Yeah? You know? I mean, sometimes the communication is like that. By the way, 30 years of marriage, right? Mark and Candy, congratulations. That's wonderful. Yeah, there are all kinds of fun things that are said about communication, but we're not going to spend time there right now. Possibly later. On the application from last week, the question was, are you loving your wife sacrificially? And again, I mean, what does it look like? Just briefly, what would be some realities, some practical realities to know if you're loving your wife sacrificially? Put in your first. It costs you something. Yeah, it could be time or resource. It could be any number of things. Even personal discomfort, you know, as far as working through or dealing with issues, whatever it might be. But the cost doesn't make you miserable. In other words, the fact that it costs you doesn't mean you have a stinking attitude. You're just going to do it because, you know, it's the sacrificial thing to do. The biblical sacrifice is done with an attitude that delights in the Lord and delights in that service. What else? Sacrificial love for your wife. Selfless, not prideful. What's that? Not resentful. Anybody else? What are the objectives of sacrificial love? What were the objectives of Christ's sacrificial love for the church? Remember? Ephesians 5. Yeah, sanctify her, to set her apart. I mean, Christ, and you guys, this is essential, okay? This is a big deal here, is that a biblical sacrificial love is first and foremost spiritual. All right? That's why I'm going to keep coming back to that in every class. first and foremost, it's spiritual. In other words, a biblical sacrificial love that I have towards another person or specifically towards my wife reflects the sacrificial love of Christ. And Christ's love towards the church, he says, so that she would ultimately, he set her apart to sanctify her, Randy said, so that she would be holy and spotless when he presents her, right? And so as a biblical husband, while I don't have the ability to set my wife apart spiritually, only God can do that, but I can participate in helping her to be set apart for spiritual purposes. And it talked about washing her with the Word, Christ in the church. And so as a husband, my privileged responsibility in sacrificial love is to teach and encourage and minister to my wife with the Word of God. And you guys, if you miss that element, you can do all of the service type things you want to do. And you blew it. Okay? You blew it. Because it starts first and foremost on that spiritual level. And that's why, men, your personal time in the Lord, your personal faithfulness to Christ, your personal service to the Lord, your personal commitment to the Scriptures and to biblical meditation or Scripture memory, those things that will help you to be a godly man, your willingness to seriously study the Word, even though there's times it's really hard, will be essential. And so the sacrifice sometimes is not just time to be with my wife. It's the time that I will invest so that I can be the man of God I need to be to my wife. You understand? So that the time I invest in part is not going to just be an interaction with her as much as interaction with God. So I'm learning and growing and serving and honoring Him so that I can help her in her spiritual walk as well to be all that God wants her to be in anticipation of the day that she will meet our Lord face to face. All right. So keeping that spiritual objective on the front end of that, it's a big deal. And quite frankly, isn't that where a lot of it breaks down? I mean, people focus on the more basic things that I still say are important. That is the service and sacrifice in the practical ways. But you guys, if you miss the primary purpose of it, then the other, it might make for a relationship that doesn't have as much conflict, maybe, I don't know, but it won't be what God wants it to be. And so you got to get that on the front end. And so my next question is, what are your objectives in marriage? And you guys, okay, you need to be able to answer that question. We're gonna go around next week. We're not. Nobody would be here. Maybe one or two. Okay. I'm not going to do it. Okay. But if I were to go around and say, what are your personal objectives? What are the things that are clear in your mind that you want to accomplish by God's grace in your marriage? If I ask you that question, then you're stuttering. You ever heard that phrase, you know, you aim for nothing, you always hit it? Right? I mean, if your objectives are undefined, then how in the world could you possibly hit them or even come close? And so to have some clarity in your own mind of what you want to be or who you want to be as a husband ought to be defined. It ought to be clear, at least the highest priorities of your life, so that you're aiming for something that you know is pleasing to our Lord. So in your preparation for this week, this is what you're supposed to do. Write down your strengths in communication, okay? Where you do well. I mean, maybe some of you are really good listeners. Maybe some of you are really good at conflict resolution. And then the second part was write down your weaknesses in communication, okay? And again, we're not going to go around and have you share. And some of you, I hope, have done this during the week. I suspect some of you, before you got to the car last week, your spouse was saying, well, you know the next one here. I ask you to write down or rate your communication in marriage on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being disaster, 10 being nearly perfect, what number would you use? And remember, you're supposed to do it independently and then reveal it, you know. And see where you landed. How many of you did that before you got to the car, or maybe in the car on the way home? Anybody? Did it come up at all? You guys, I mean, because again, here's the deal with communication, is that if I think that our communication is great. Our communication is great. And that's not uncommon for a man to think. Now, it can be the other way around. Okay? It's not uncommon. Seems great to me. And so it's really, it's just bewildering. And I see this in my office regularly. I'll ask this question. I'll have them put that number down, and then I'll have them reveal that in my presence. That just eliminated a whole bunch of marriage counseling from my office, didn't it? You're going, I'm not going to that guy. And oftentimes, there's shock. I mean, I thought our communication was pretty good. And one of the spouses has gone, that's the problem. That's the problem. You think it's good, and it's not. It's awful. Oh. You know, that's kind of hard to take sometimes. And then beginning to work through that. And again, it's where it's hard is if one is saying it's an 8 and one is saying it's a 2. You know, sometimes people come in and they both say, that's a 3. Well, at least they know, they both know it's bad. But then you got to do something, right? And then if it's higher, that's great. I mean, that's good. But you guys, being able to think through your strengths and your weaknesses in communication, and then it's not just thinking through them, especially as it relates to weakness, it's doing something about it. And when we get to conflict resolution, we're going to talk about that. Okay, so we have bad habits. How do you change those bad habits? And oftentimes people have had those habits for 20 or 30 years. It's very hard to change without some outside help, somebody to give suggestions, okay, of what you can do and what you shouldn't do in that process that might be of use. So in communication, let's just go through some basics. Some quotes from Wayne Mack. Deep oneness can be achieved only where good communication exists. Deep oneness can be achieved only where good communication exists. Otherwise, you know, people may have a relationship, but there's a shallowness and there is often other associated problems. He also says, wherever you find two people who are continuously and harmoniously walking together, striving toward the same goals, conducting their lives according to the same standards, giving mutual assistance, enjoying sweet fellowship with one another, you can be sure they are in agreement. And then it goes on, and if they're in agreement, you can be sure they have learned to communicate with one another. Now, we live in a culture that doesn't foster this, right? How many of you would say, I am really busy? Yeah, that's a question. I mean, it's true. Isn't our culture? You guys, our culture is so fast-paced. And so we do things quickly. And even we try to communicate quickly. And how well does that typically go? Poorly. You might get away with it for a time. But eventually, you end up with other issues. According to Jay Adams, communication is the basic skill needed to establish and maintain sound relationships. A sound husband and wife relationship is impossible apart from good communication. Here's some effects of failed communication. Again, these are by Wayne Mack in Preparing for Marriage God's Way. Effects of failed communication, or I would say poor or inadequate communication. Issues remain unclarified. Hey, just a quick question. You know, usually or oftentimes we fall into two kind of broad categories, if you will. People who, they don't like conflict. You know, if there's conflict, I mean, they are passionate about, we need to get it on the table, figure it out, work through it. I know. How many of you are that kind of person? I mean, you just don't like issues. You just want them resolved. Talk through them, get it done. Okay, then there's the other. And the other is that person who I hate conflict. Okay? I hate it. That's that person I talked about last week where is something bothering you? Nope. No, it's not. And because they don't like conflict, and so even engaging in conversation to resolve conflict is a struggle for them. And so if they can get it to go away and keep it away, they think it would be better. Of course it's not, but they think that. How many of you like that? You know, you're uncomfortable and you just tend to pull away. Some of you, and some of you are staying noncommittal. You can talk later with your spouse if they're here. We see issues remain, failed or poor communication, issues remain unclarified. So if one person just tends not to want to engage, especially about issues that are a little more difficult, then you just continue in a state of uncertainty or difficulty. Wrong ideas or assumptions are uncorrected. Wrong ideas or even assumptions are uncorrected. And they can even be towards one another. I think you said that because you believe this. All right? And you begin to build in your mind why this person is doing what they're doing. And you know, you may not even be close to accurate. But we build up ideas in our minds, and boy, they can lead to massive problems. It's imposing motives on another person. You did this because you're mad at me. You did this because. And you guys, it may not be accurate, but if two people can't have a healthy, God-honoring conversation, those things can live on. Conflicts can remain unresolved. Confusion and disorder develop. You know, just uncertainty. And I suspect many, maybe everybody, if you've been in a relationship, especially a marital-type relationship, but it can be within the context of family as well. It can be with siblings. It can be with parents. You guys, where there is this confusion, this awkwardness in the relationship, this lack of clarity, and it's just uncomfortable. Wise decision making is thwarted. And that's a big deal in marriage. Wise decision making is thwarted. See, healthy communication, and we've already talked about God's intent in marriage as far as the helpmate, you know, that you come together to benefit each other. You bless one another with strengths. You encourage each other in your weaknesses. You guys, the benefit of those two people coming together and the benefit to the wisdom contributed for the sake of that marriage and extended relationships, whether children or family, is huge. And so when you don't have good, healthy, godly communication, boy, you're robbed of that ability to make wise decisions as you should. In fact, sometimes it even gets competitive in a marriage. Competitive because there's such a difference about how things should be done. And so, you know, oftentimes I'll use this illustration. Marriage is not supposed to be a tug of war. You know, kind of keeping balance, I guess, the balance of power. Tug of war. If you want to liken it to a tug of war, you're both supposed to be on the same end of the rope. Right? You're both supposed to be on the same end of the rope, working together, and then you can make wise decisions. And again, we'll talk about these more in the next class and the third class. The development of deep unity, intimacy, and emotional closeness is hindered. You guys, when there's tension in a marriage or a lack of communication, it's pretty hard to have the type of intimacy that scriptures would reveal, what God intends. And we'll talk about that in another class, hopefully, before we get to the end. Interpersonal problems are intensified. There can become or be boredom, discontent, and frustration with the relationship. It'd be so hard. All of a sudden, and when you get that discontent and the frustration in a relationship, that leads to other sin problems, right? Spiritual growth mutual sharpening and stimulation are impeded. And that's why, remember when I talk about the sacrificial love, that's first and foremost spiritual. And then the other flows from that. And if you have that right, folks, then it's going to be a whole lot easier to deal with these other issues. I mean, if you're not a communicator, you're going to learn to be one. And you're going to want to learn to be one because you're going to want to honor the Lord and exalt Him and accomplish His purposes in both your own life and the life of your mate. Continuing. Shallow relationships, distancing, estrangement, and drifting apart are promoted. Sometimes these things can be subtle for an extended period of time, but eventually they can become disastrous. Bad attitudes toward, suspiciousness of the other person are nurtured. Understanding each other deeply is prevented. Yes, it is a sad thing to meet with two people that at one point in their lives they stood in front of a church and they professed allegiance to one another and they expressed vows that would be for life. And you guys, part of those vows are what? That I will love you. And now, sometimes just a few years, sometimes many, many years, they're sitting in the office and they don't even want to talk to each other. They don't even want to talk to each other. They just despise each other. Well, see, that's the progression. It's a progression of not having the spiritual priorities. It's a progression of not dealing with the weaknesses in the marriage or the sins in the marriage. It's a progression of not communicating well and just saying, that's just not the way I am, and just letting it go. It's awful. Other negative effects of poor communication from Stuart Scott. I know you're going, wow. I mean, these go on and on. They do. We're only touching them. But you guys, these are huge things. God will not be honored by a good testimony for Christ. If you're not willing to invest to maintain a healthy biblical marriage, God will not be honored by a good testimony for Christ. And you guys remember, what's the purpose of a biblical Christian marriage? It's the world can see the love that husband has for his wife, and it's a picture of Christ's love for the church. The world can see that wife in a response to her husband, and she can see how the church ought to respond to Christ. It's bigger than you. If your marriage is just about the two of you, you've missed it. It's not. It's like this life. Is this life about you? No. It's about the glory of God. And so all that we ought to do should be to accomplish that purpose, that is to bring glory to God. The relationship will be superficial, strange. Discord and conflict will be common and increasingly common. Bitterness will begin to set in. And you've seen that, right? Haven't you seen that with folks that are just bitter? They're just bitter and can't believe that God would want me to live in this situation. All right? Because they've just become so frustrated. And the temptation will be great to communicate with another person outside the marriage. Okay? Because when it starts breaking down internally, I mean, what happens? So if you're working, what do you want to do? Outside the home? For either spouse. You're working outside the home, what do you want to do? Work longer. Work longer. Come home later, because I don't want to deal with it. And so as that progresses, all of the hazards with that become quite profound. Let's talk about some positive aspects of communication by Stuart Scott. Positive aspects. God is honored by a good testimony for Christ. God is honored by a good testimony for Christ. The most important thing in a marriage is not that you get your way. The most important thing in a marriage is that God is honored. Friendship will be strengthened and will be meaningful. Companionship and oneness will be enjoyed more. harmony will be present. Any disagreement can be handled quickly and without conflict. It doesn't have to be ugly. It doesn't have to be harsh. It doesn't have to be even differences, even major differences. Don't be, you guys, you may be like this, or you may know people that are, that if one person gets loud, what's the other person do? Gets louder. And then gets louder. And it's just, it's the tug of war. But you guys, that's not God's design. It's not God's design. His design is, okay, we're going to have conflict because we're sinners. But it's that we work through it. And we talk. And we pray through it. And we go to the Scriptures so that we can be godly in the process. And you guys, if we're committed to the spiritual priorities, then we'll be able to be the people that God would want us to be. You guys know what it's like if you watch children. We've talked about this because it helps us to understand the way we can also be. You watch a child who refuses to obey their parents, and they create an absolutely miserable situation. It might be as simple as saying, "Yes, Mommy." That's all they have to say. Two words. Two words. You been there? With your kiddos? No, you need to say, "Yes, Mommy." Yes. No. You need to say, "Yes, Mommy." Yes. And then might be a little bit of discipline in between these. I'm just going to leave that out to your I'm going to leave that to your imagination. And so, you know, they go through the discipline and you bring them out. Now, you know, that's it. Tell them, say, "Yes, Mommy." "Yes, Mom." "Mommy." I mean, have you guys been there? It's like, serious. And you know, go back out. Bring them back. And they're just crying. They're just, the tears are flowing. Two stinking words. Awful. I mean, really, I can't tell you. I mean, I have a lot of grandkids. And so, I mean, we sit, it's like, can't we just have one, like, enjoyable meal, like a whole meal with all of the kids? I mean, as a grandparent, you're sitting there out, back, out, hey, tears. It's like, "So, how's everybody else doing here?" You know? I mean, it's awful. It's awful. Adults can be equally foolish. Adults can be equally foolish. I mean, you guys, who wants an unhappy marriage? Really? Who is just saying, I want an unhappy marriage? Nobody says that I know. And yet, how many people live in that context of an unhappy marriage because one or both are not willing to submit to the Lord, willing to be all that God wants them to be without, "I'll do it if you do it"? You know, the beauty of the Scriptures, if a couple comes to me regardless of how bad it is and how many years, okay, here's where I start. With what? Where am I going to start? With the gospel. It doesn't matter to me how long they've been here, okay? I'm going to start with the gospel. And I want to hear from them if they understand in a personal way the message of the gospel, if it's transformed their life. Because if they've experienced the forgiveness of God, if they've experienced the grace of God, then they have the ability by God's grace through His Spirit and His Word to be the person God wants them to be. So if they both give testimony of their faith, then the next thing I'm going to talk to them about is just basic obedience. I know it's simple, but do you believe the Bible? I mean, do you really believe it? And of course, the answer, what are they going to say? I mean, it's awkward to say no at that point. Okay? I mean, it's true. Yeah. Then are you willing to submit to everything that it says? Are you willing to submit to everything that it says? And you know what? If they're willing, there is no reason why they can't have a godly, God-honoring biblical marriage. And it can begin with significant change in one moment of time. But it does have to start there. And you know what? In our sinfulness, it is so easy to be unwilling to be the person God wants me to be unless I see that they want to be the person God wants them to be. Which means I don't really care about being the person God wants me to be. This is not about God and honoring God. It's about getting my way. It's about winning the battle. It's about the tug of war. And, you know, people dig their feet in, and they're not going to be. I can't tell you how many times we talked about biblical change. You change here, you change there. And they go back, and somebody will come back and say, I have tried for 3 weeks, and it hasn't worked. What hasn't worked? Well, they're still doing the same thing. See, you're still trying to get them to be what you want them to be. This is not about God's honor at all. It's about you. You don't like your circumstance, and you're only trying to change to get them to change. That's not biblical. It's not godly, and it's not helpful. But it happens all the time. And just like that child, then you have two people living in this miserable situation, and that's not what God would desire for us. He's given us the solution, how we can have a marriage that will honor God. Other positive aspects of communication from Stuart Scott. Problem issues can be clarified and resolved. When you're not competing, when I really, really want to know what my wife thinks or how she feels, I'm not just trying to win an argument or a battle. I really want to know. And oftentimes, are you guys like this, where you look at your spouse and you know if something's bothering them? Now, you can either go, oh, not again. Or you can say, I want to know. And if I've done something, or I've said something, or if I've communicated something, whether intentionally or unintentionally, I need to know that. And then it's the process of beginning to deal with that, which is 2 weeks. Conflict resolution. What do you do at that stage? Okay. Problem issues can be clarified and resolved. Wrong ideas can be corrected. Now listen, have you ever had wrong ideas about your spouse or about somebody else? I mean, you thought something about what they said or how they acted or whatever, and you found out at the end of the day your perception was not exactly accurate. Have you ever been there? Somebody say yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, don't lie. Okay. That's bad communication. But you guys, where you've made an assessment and you thought they did it something for this reason or didn't, and you thought something that just wasn't accurate. That happens all the time. And you guys, in good communication, you can clarify wrong ideas. And then forgiveness and trust will be exercised easier. And that's such a huge issue because the person who remembers, and some of y'all have good memories, okay? Some of you have good memories. How many of you like that? I mean, you can remember details of your past. How many of you like that? I mean, and then there's some of us that are not. I mean, like, if you come to me, people think when I'm teaching, he's talking to me. You don't have to worry about that with me. My memory is so bad. I mean, you know, some people would think and dwell and da-da-da-da. I'm just not like that. I'm moving forward, and I'm moving forward, I mean, like, fast. And there's always another thing, and that's where my mind and my heart. And so when I'm sitting here, I'm not thinking about all that. You may think I am. Relax. You don't have to worry about it. Ask my kids. Ask my wife. He doesn't remember. Ask my parents. Believe me, they say he doesn't remember. But some people remember details. And for those, it can be hard when it comes to forgiveness and trust because those things can forever be in their mind or they can so quickly bring them to their mind that it can make a healthy relationship difficult. difficult. So in a healthy relationship where there's good communication, forgiveness and trust begin to be exercised together in a way that honors the Lord, and then good decision making, of course, would be enhanced, which is so important. There's all kinds of types of communication, and these are not all of them that I'm going to give you, so you can come up with your own list, okay? There's obviously verbal communication. But you guys, if we just talk of verbal communication, let's enhance that. What are some elements of verbal communication that affect our communication? What? Who said it? Thanks, Brian. Tone. Volume. What else?
Inflection.
Attitude can come out in just your voice, right?
Sarcasm.
Yeah. Your eyes, and we're going to get to more where it's. We'll get to gestures in a minute. We'll get there, and facial expression. Oh, you guys, there is so much here, and you know, if you want to make a point, what do you do with your voice? How do you make it sound? We'll get to the face and stuff next. Well, not next. It's coming. What's that? Yeah. Okay. Let me just speak slowly.
Understand?
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many things that we can do. Just with the tone of our voice. And then there's the idea of just listening or not listening. We talked about that last week. You guys, I mean, just listening. Have you ever been talking, not necessarily to your spouse, okay? This would be less painful. But you're talking to somebody, even here at church, and you find them looking over your shoulder because they're paying attention to something else. Have you ever done that? You know, somebody's talking to you. And then, you guys, here's the deal. You with your spouse, the opportunities for that are immense because you're together a lot. And so, you know, if you've ever been sitting listening and you realize while you're looking at them, you don't have a clue what they just said. Not a clue. Some of you guys like that? Some of you guys? I mean, it's awful. And you guys, I mean, when I catch myself, I truly try to say, sorry, hon, could you repeat what you just said? It's awkward, but I found that it's better than trying to pretend like I know what she just said. That usually doesn't turn out well. Just listening or not listening is a huge deal. I mean, we'll talk about this more, but I mean listening with intent. Not just to rehearse back the words that were said, but I mean listening to understand what's behind the words. Okay? Big deal. How about there's written. Now, it could be letter, email, or text. I may have already mentioned this, but in premarital counseling, I've asked them, where's the most difficult area where you tend to have more conflict with communication? And you know where they say? Texting. Because how many words do you get? I don't know. I've never maxed it out when I wrote a text, okay? I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's limited, you know? And so you respond back with these little in-between, whatever you're doing, hopefully not driving. Surely not. But you do these fast things, and they create conflict because it's so easy to misunderstand. That's a common area. But you guys, when it comes to written, it could be what you write in a birthday card. It could actually be if you choose to get a humorous instead of a serious one because you don't want to say kind, serious things. It could be how you sign your name. I mean, you guys, there are just a lot of ways that we can communicate both favorably and unfavorably. Gestures. Oh, sorry. Facial. And that's the... All right, you guys, what's your bad look? Come on, give it to me. When you're just disgusted, but you're not going to say it, but you can see it. You can see it. Huh? I mean, what's your look? Is it... Because I'm guessing you have one. All right? That it's your way to communicate your dissatisfaction with something. And you guys, a lot of us, if something's bothering me, my wife's probably going to notice. Why? Not because of something I say. It's how I look. Something's bothering her. I can tell. But it's just our face. And if you're disgusted, or if you're just impatient with your spouse, or if your spouse wants to talk and you don't want to talk, you know, I mean, it just can be everything. We get into gestures. And arms crossed. You know, I mean, there's just so many different ways that we communicate. And that's why even in communication, part of learning to deal with conflict is learning what we communicate from how we look. You know, so if my wife says, you know, when you cross your arms when we talk, I just feel like you're upset. So I could tell her, well, just know I'm not. But it'd be more helpful if I said, I won't do that anymore. Thanks for letting me know. I can't tell you how many times a person just says, well, you just need to get used to it. That's just not the way I am. That's not what I mean. Well, why don't you just change, just to make it easy? Just to be kind. You know? And let's change some patterns that would be helpful, because there's so many ways that can just start things off in a bad way. How about your presence, your absence? So I said, you know, somebody starts working late. They're just avoiding coming home. You know, maybe there was a time when you'd even occasionally try to run home for lunch, and that just goes away. And so by your presence or by your absence, by being early or by being late, by touch. You know, if there was a day that you always had your arm around your wife, or, you know, you held her hand, and then that just stops. That communicates. It communicates something, and whether we do or we don't, or how we do, as far as express our care and our concern for somebody, by helping or not helping in whatever situation it is. You know, just being there for you. And I mean being with a good attitude versus that, I mean, I've asked you to do this three times, you know, please. You know, where you get into those tensions, competitions, if you will. Giving gifts or not giving gifts can demonstrate. And it's not that you have to give gifts all the time, but if there are ways that you typically have expressed, you know, I mean, how much has your relationship changed since the dating days, for crying out loud? You know? I mean, you didn't even care if it made you broke. Isn't that true? This is my last time. Wonder if there's another one in my car, you know? Because it was more important to you to express your love than it was to have the resources. And so in the course of marriage, if that time together, in the time, remember on the time on the phone, any of you have distant relationships, distance, you know, when you're dating? I mean, how much time, truly, how much time did you spend on the phone? Even if it wasn't distance, for crying out loud, I mean, more than 10 miles. How much time did you spend on the phone? Now, it's not usually practical to continue at that level once you're married. Nonetheless, it ought still to be a priority. So, we got to roll. Here's 6 prerequisites to good communication. I'm not going to go too fast. I'm going to slow down. If I don't get my next section done, I'm going to move it, and we'll just add another class, okay, because we can do that. You must want to please God more than anything. You must want to please God more than anything. Because honestly, in the context of a relationship, there may be times that you want to get mad, you want to get even, you want to be unkind, you were treated wrong, it was unjust. But regardless, you want to please God more than anything. So your response or reaction is going to be a reflection of your love from God or for God, not what has been done to you or not been done, as the case may be. You understand that? So even if there's a conflict in your mind, you must be saying, I just need to think, how can I please God in this situation? Not how can I make a point? Or how can I communicate my displeasure or dissatisfaction. You must be, on the first one, let me give you a couple of verses. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. That's Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever it is, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, that eliminates right off the bat all kinds of bad habits and bad behaviors and bad responses. Regardless of how you're treated. You got to hear that. Regardless of how you're treated. You have to determine, God, I want to respond in word or deed in a way that will bring you honor and bring you glory. And then in humility, in 1 Peter 5:6, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. Humility. You guys, God is the one that we humble ourselves before, and our confidence is his ability to accomplish whatever he wants when he wants. Mine is simply to live in biblical submission to him that is then, of course, demonstrated by how we respond and react. You know, in Philippians 2, considering one another is more important than ourselves. You must be aware that you are accountable to God for everything you communicate. And I'm not just talking words, but words certainly are part of it. Everything you communicate, okay, you have to be responsible for that. And so in Matthew 12:36, it says, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Not one. But only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Yeah, but he... But she, if you knew what she... This is what the book says. If you love the Lord, and if you truly want to submit to whatever he teaches, then you never have the freedom to justify your sin based on somebody else's sin. You can't do that. You can't do that. You say, but then they're going to get away with it. Like, that's your is that really your role? Does that really reflect even your biblical responsibility in the marriage? No. No. See, that has more to do with what you think about God than what you think about your spouse. All right? Got to be so, so careful. You must know how to listen or learn how to listen. You must. And again, I'm not saying just to be able to repeat what has been said. But when we talk about communication more next week, we're going to talk about listening has a lot to do with asking questions. I mean, a good listener will ask good questions. Questions. Why? Why are they listening? They're listening to understand. They're not listening to acknowledge that they heard you. There's a big difference. Well, I heard you. No, you didn't. And you see the debate, right? Yes, I did. I heard you. No, you didn't. You heard the words I said. You didn't hear what I meant. Well, how am I supposed to know that? A good listener is listening with such intent that they can ask good questions so that they can better understand what is meant. Because you guys, we are so different. Biologically, obviously, from man to woman, okay? And then the different thought process, but personality as well. And giftedness, you guys, you add all of that together, we're just very different. And so it takes effort to really listen and understand. And so that will be essential. No, you must know that communication involves much more than words. And we've talked about that. Let me give you a couple of verses, by the way. Proverbs 18:13, for the know how to listen. He who gives an answer before he hears, it's folly and shame to him. Proverbs 18:13. He who gives an answer before he hears. You ever done that? Spouse is saying, I know, and they cut you off, right? They don't even know what you mean. It says that's foolishness. And then when we think about communication, that it involves more than words, let me read this illustration to you. in Luke 22, 47 to 48. While Jesus was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. What was he wanting to communicate? Friendship. Loyalty. Right? And yet the next verse says, but Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Ah, see, communication. You can use something that is intended for one purpose and use it for a completely different person. You have to understand that communication involves more than words, folks. You've got to learn to be sensitive and aware of that. You must be willing to invest both the time and effort to communicate. All right, just a quick question. Okay, we're not taking any snapshots, so I remember this. You already know that I don't remember well. So when you talk about time and effort to communicate, usually a bunch of us struggle with that just because we struggle with communication. I mean, do some of you just, just the idea of sitting down and talking and communicating, is that hard for some of you? I mean, because that was a struggle for me. And now you would think that ought not to be. The man talks all the time. But I'm, as much as I deal with conflict in my life, left to myself, I would choose to avoid it. And so, I mean, the ideas of just sitting down and communicating, let's sit down and talk. I remember the day when it was like, oh, God, help me. I mean, that's just an awful thought. Now, I know that that's sinful. And I know that it leads to trouble. But you guys, that was just such a struggle. And so to learn that it's okay to sit down, even to work through difficult things and talk and listen and ask questions is a good thing. It's helpful. But boy, it can be one of those things that some people will struggle to be committed to it. And you're going to, you know, if you're one of those people, you're going to have to learn to work through that. You have to learn to work through that. And then, this is not from Stuart Scott, I just added it on. You must be willing to change. You must be willing to change. I'm sure he would say the same thing. You must be willing to change. You know, if you don't want to listen and to learn and to grow and to change, then it's broken. And until you're willing to recognize, come before God and before His Word and say, I want to be who you want me to be. I want to live the way you want me to live. And in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. We've got to be willing to deal with those things in our own hearts, you guys. And in dealing with those in a relationship means, you know what? I didn't mean to communicate that to you. And I'm sorry that I communicated that to you. But I need to have your help in learning how I could communicate in a different way that would be more helpful to you. Because I'm not sure how to do it. I'm not sure what's going to best work. And you guys, for me, you guys know that I've been in two marriages. Because my first wife is with Jesus. And so I've only been married a year and a half now. You'd think I'd have it figured out. I told my wife to stay home today so I could say whatever I wanted. No, she's in Colorado visiting family. I came back last night so I could be here today. And so, but every person is different. And you learn new things and different things and have to continue to grow and try to understand. You have to be willing to change. I have to be willing to change and listen and learn. And I don't mean just be willing to. Want to. I want to change. I want to be who God wants me to be. And I want to be able to help my wife to be all that God wants her to be. And part of that is learning to grow and change. And I don't mean necessarily in changing things that are sinful, inherently sinful necessary. Maybe just patterns that are not helpful. Okay, maybe just patterns that are not helpful. Whatever it might be, a willingness to change for the sake of God's honor. Now, I'm gonna just start on communication with God, and then I want to give you an assignment on it, okay, because we'll get to it next week. But the whole idea of communicating with God, I think, is essential in learning to communicate with one another. Because I think, and this is just an assessment, I think that a lot of Christians may think that they have good communication with God when, in fact, they don't. Okay? I suspect that a lot of professing Christians think that they have good communication with God when they don't. So here's some questions. Let's just talk about them, and then we'll deal with the subject next week. How do you know if you are really communicating with God? Kind of hard to answer that after I just said, I don't think most people know. But think about it. I mean, what does communication look like in relationship with God? And so, respond. How do you know if you're really communicating with God? Yeah, it could be something afterwards that God affirms in one way or the other, and we'll talk more specifically about this next week and how that in objective ways. Okay, what else? Don't get down to details, man. Yeah, I mean, it's not just an issue of spending time in the Word, you guys, because you can. That's just like communicating with your wife. You just hear it, right? Okay, gotcha. And you go on. If you just read God's Word, check the box on your way, is that communication with God? And it's checking off a box. And so it goes beyond that. And the Scriptures use the words meditation, you know, and contemplating the Scripture. Why? With the desire to put it in practice. Somebody else said something. Yes, Dale. Obedience. Yeah, good communication with God is reflected in life change. And if there's not life change, then that's a problem. John. What's going on in my mind all the time? Am I thinking godly thoughts? Now, you guys, as we start talking about this, just think about this. If we have healthy communication with God, i.e., time in His Word, meditating on it, obedience, if we're working to think godly thoughts, we're praying to Him. If we're doing those things, how does that affect our relationship with other people around us? It should affect it profoundly, shouldn't it? Profoundly. How about this one? How do you know if God is really communicating with you? Yeah, if it's consistent with His Word. Yeah. The worship that's in your heart, not a contrived worship. It's a joyful, delightful relationship, right, with God in communication. What else? What's that? Conviction. That when God's Word speaks and you're reading and you see something and you go, consider other people more important than yourselves, and you go, wow, you know, yesterday, when I was thinking about this situation, I was thinking about me, my time, da-da-da-da. God, I am so sorry. And then it translates into life change, right? Translates into life change. Yeah, right. Yeah. In fact, I love in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, you know, when it talks about anxiety, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. In any of life circumstances, it's incredible. Communication with God is essential, and to try to have healthy communication with your spouse or with anybody, frankly, apart from having healthy communication with God, means it's not going to happen. It's not going to be at the depth. It's not going to be with the same intent that it ought to be. What are warning signs that your communication with God is not healthy? What are warning signs that your communication with God is not healthy? Yeah, Jonathan. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, when we ask somebody, well, why isn't spending time with God a priority in your life? The very common answer is what? I am too busy. What does that say about priority? It's not there. Candace. Yeah, it's just not becoming more Christ-like. Yeah. Get a progression of growing in Christ-likeness. That would be a warning sign. It's a warning sign if you read your Bible in the morning, but you can't remember what you said. You know, I mean, that's done. The boxes, you checked it off, and now you go on with the rest of your life. Okay, the time that you spend in the Word ought to be affecting how you think through the day. You know, gospel-minded through the day, right? The people around you, a business opportunity. God doesn't give you a business opportunity just so you can make money, right? There are opportunities for the gospel. And so it's recognizing that all of life is an opportunity to worship our Lord. So signs, what are signs that your communication with God is healthy? Yeah, this decrease in worry, because what does, I mean, worry is a reflection that I don't trust God. I mean, that's the root sin when we talk about anxiety. I don't trust God. What else? You enjoy your time in the Word. You guys, I've said it before, but God didn't give us His Word and say, okay, now, see how long it is? Read it. I mean, really? I mean, honestly, I mean, I can think of times when I've said, hey, why don't you just read, you know, this week, just go home and read the book of Genesis. Maybe read it tonight, or if you need to break it up in a couple of few days or something, read it in a couple of few days. You guys, how do most people think when you say that? Why? Think about this. Why? It's so long. It's 50 chapters. That's 50 chapters. You guys, how many people pick up a stinking novel that's 150 pages and won't go to bed till it's done? What does that tell you about how we think of God's Word? We don't value it. We don't value it. It's shameful, isn't it? Because that is. I mean, we've kind of been trained to think like that. 50 chapters. Why? Because at best, we only read a chapter at a time, and that's if we're doing good. Why? You guys, when you get to the New Testament, the letter of 1 Peter was just that. It was a letter. We didn't read it a paragraph at a time. Okay, church, let's read a paragraph, sit her down. Next paragraph tomorrow. It was a letter. They read it. The whole thing. Now, they might go back and read it in smaller parts to learn and to understand it, but it was a letter. You guys, when you get an email, you don't open it up. Well, some of you probably do. Read the first... Read the first paragraph and close it till tomorrow. Right? Guys, God didn't give it to us to burden us, to make us miserable, to give us an assignment that would weary us. He gave it to us out of His great love and compassion so that we could communicate with the living God. And He has promised that He will communicate with us. I mean, what a gift! What a gift! But here, just like the relationship with friends or with a spouse or with parents or with siblings, it takes time, it takes intent, it takes effort, it takes commitment, but it ought also be a delight, that it's a privilege. And so next week, I'm going to go through a number of verses and just areas of communication as it relates to God that are both unfavorable and favorable, and then we'll move into the next section, and we'll just keep going until we finish, okay? But hopefully it'll be helpful. Let me pray. Lord, thank You for the time. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You're willing to communicate with us. And even as Tom expressed this morning in the service, that is an act of Your grace and something that is so incredibly undeserved. And in fact, we realize that we deserve quite the opposite. thank you, God, for the communication by sending your Son, the communication by sending your Word, the communication by sending your Spirit. You have blessed us immensely. And Lord, in this coming week, help each one of us just to contemplate our communication with you. And Lord, it might be a good time for us to recognize areas where we're maybe weak or not being responsible. Help us to change in such a way that you are well pleased. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.